President Trump recently declassified and released records on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. So far, nothing in those files mentions the shocking information we're going to be talking about today. Was Vice President Lyndon Johnson involved in Kennedy's assassination? Well, stay with us. We're going to learn more. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurlaitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us for this special edition today. Right, every week we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, today we're bringing you a bonus program on the Kennedy assassination. There's been a lot of talk about it, right? Well, the New York Times has reported that 65% of Americans believe the Kennedy assassination involved a conspiracy. The government was named most often as a co-conspirator. All right, we met up with Shane Stevens at CPAC, and he told me an astonishing story about his family's history involving the Kennedy assassination. Boy, we've been talking about that now for quite a long time. Shane has an audio recording he says was taped by his grandfather, a Texan named Billy Saul Estes, commonly known as Saul. He says the two men in the recording are his grandfather, Saul, and one of Lyndon Johnson's most trusted political operatives, a man named Cliff Carter. And it's Carter's voice on the recording that directly implicates Lyndon Johnson in Kennedy's assassination. We'll hear that recording later in the program. But first I'm going to let Shane give you some background on the recording and his grandfather, Saul, who seems to have been involved with Lyndon Johnson and the rough and tough world of pay-to-play politics. Here we go. Why would we talk about this story? Because history is important for us to visit, right? Because it replays itself in many ways.
Right.
And if we don't learn from history, then we really, that's just dumb. If we don't look back and understands what's happened, and it could possibly repeat itself. Different names, different story, different book.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they say if we fail to learn from history, if we fail to learn from our mistakes, we're destined to repeat the same ones.
Right.
And this is a pretty big story in the history of America, of our country, and to some degree, the world as we know it. I mean, it's one of the biggest conspiracies or unsolved mysteries or unsolved murders that's out there. I don't know of many that are bigger than that. And the simple premise of the truth shall set you free, and in this case, perhaps the truth shall set us free.
Yeah.
Because I firmly believe that as a country, we're embroiled in a battle of good versus evil.
We are.
And I'm not talking just, you know, good versus evil, bad, fucking God versus Satan.
Yeah.
Through the people that are here. Mm-hmm. And right now, it seems like good is winning. God is winning.
Yeah.
And that we're on the right path to restoring integrity to our nation and restoring honor, restoring truth.
Yes.
But I think this component is big in the regards to, I believe this is a foundational component to the lies and deceit that have occurred in the U.S.
Yeah, good point. Because there is, we talk about the swamp, draining the swamp, the corruption in the political world. Always has been, probably much deeper, as we'll hear today, than we could ever imagine.
Right.
President Trump is talking about, release, I don't know what the actual term is, the files for
Declass.
Right. JFK and others. And so people are talking about JFK again now. It never goes away, does it?
No, and I think that's indicative of, we're given a certain intuition about things and situations. And I remember watching this before I even knew that my granddad was involved or had knowledge of, was tied to it all. I remember watching it and being like, there's no way what they're saying about that video of that man getting killed is true.
Right.
Because you could tell. I mean, as a young kid, my lie detector test was saying something's off about it.
Yeah.
And then...
And most Americans...
Yeah,
as well.
And I think that's why it doesn't go away, because everybody with a lick of common sense and a lick of knowledge of history understands that there's something off about that and that we were deceived.
Yeah.
And they want to know the truth.
So your family discovered some tapes 10 years ago?
It's about 10 years ago,
okay.
8 to 10 years ago when they first surfaced. So part of this story is my granddad was tied in with LBJ. He was tied in with LBJ's hitman, Malcolm Wallace. And the Kennedys at the time were embroiled in a battle with LBJ. So it wasn't this happy marriage up in D.C. at the White House. The Kennedys despised LBJ and vice versa.
Wow.
So that relationship...
Was that known at that time?
I would assume okay. within their inner
circle. Inner circle, right.
But was for known, the, but as far as the country,
no.
I don't think so.
Right.
Now it's widely known. If somebody wants to take the time to research any of this, go online, look it up, research the names that Debbie and I are going to talk about today. Research the past. I'm only going to be sharing facts or things that, you know, 99% know to be true. If it's something that I'm speculating on or that we just heard as a family, part of our family history, I'll let you know that I think or it may
right.
be. But there's a lot of facts that are out there about all of this as well.
Right. So now they're at odds, complete odds.
Mm-hmm.
You tell us about the tapes and... I guess basically what you discovered. Was this kind of like a family story at some point? Like, did you kind of hear, did your grandfather talk about, you know, some of this or lay a foundation? Like, he kind of knew some things? I don't know.
It's a great question. I've learned way more about my granddad from other people
okay.
that knew him, from other friends. And so what we figured out later in life is he didn't want us to know. He didn't want his daughters, his son. He didn't want the family to know because by knowing that implicates you and it puts you in danger. A lot of people were killed surrounding all of this. So his way of trying to protect us from it was he would just not talk about it. In fact, as we got older and we started to hear these stories of like, well, Saul has these tapes that basically show that LBJ is guilty of being behind the assassination of the president.
Not many people just kind of have those tapes in their family.
No.
And it's like...
Oh, what an heirloom, right?
Right.
I want you to have this, honey.
Scary and like and shocking and like
yeah.
sitting like you feel like you're sitting on evidence.
You do. It's in releasing it has been freeing.
Oh, I bet.
It was a heavy burden to carry for me, my family. And my mom, the sisters, my uncle, they really don't want anything to do with this. They had to live through it. They had to live through 52 FBI agents coming to their house in Pecos, Texas, investigations for six months,
just
leaving in the middle of the night with one box of things from their mansion in Pecos, going to a house, my grandma working three jobs. Like, they went from one of the wealthiest families in Texas, worth $600 million at the time, down to just absolutely impoverished, all of their money and assets seized and taken, and my grandma working three jobs,
no.
sewing clothes for her children.
Just destroyed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they came in full force and took that whole empire down.
Which is what they do, right? They intimidate,
yeah.
they destroy, ruin your
yeah.
reputation, destroy your family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky.
It's the
kind
same
of
thing
the approach.
Right, same thing they're doing with the Trump administration, the J6. Anyone that is does not agree with their narrative or their mission,
right.
they take you out.
That's exactly right. And that's where, you know, now we've watched it happen. With Trump, we watched them try everything they could, weaponizing the judicial system, weaponizing the IRS, weaponizing the FBI.
Right.
They've come after him with everything they've got. In my granddad's case, this was kind of a new strategy. He had a really good attorney that was going to defend him.
Okay.
Potentially could have gotten him off. But LBJ said, no, you're going to use my attorney. And
okay.
that was John Cofer. And John Cofer was not the nicest man. There's stories that we could tell about that guy later. But his order, John Cofer, was get Billy Saul Estes off at all costs, but not without incriminating me. So there was no way to get my granddad off of these charges without incriminating LBJ.
Too close.
Right.
Too intertwined.
Because their schemes and their pay-for-play schemes were completely intertwined. So basically, that attorney was in there defending LBJ and not my granddad.
So tell me what's on the tapes. What do you hear on the tapes? We're going to listen to them. What do you hear on the tapes? What's the conversation? Explain it to us.
All right. So it's Billy Saul Estes, my granddad, talking with Cliff Carter, who was the executive director of the DNC and the right-hand man to Lyndon Baines Johnson. So these two guys talking, and the analogy that I've been using is, say, let's look at somebody that's close to President Trump. And that could be Cash Patel or somebody that's been a very close, trusted advisor to him.
Okay.
And then let's look at one of his biggest donors. And, you know, the ones that I kind of know come to mind are some of the Texas oil guys like Tim Dunn or Bubba Salisbury, some of those guys that give substantial amounts. So
it would basically be... just an example.
Yeah, just an example.
Right.
But it would be basically be these two guys talking about President Trump and saying, oh, he did all of this. So you've got these two gentlemen that were as close as you could get in the LBJ ecosystem.
Circle, yes.
They were the inner circle.
Yeah.
Right? Talking about LBJ's hitman, Malcolm Wallace. Plain as day, I wish LBJ would have never issued that order. I'm true blue, meaning I'm true to the Democrat Party. I'm true blue, always have been, always will be. And I've followed every order he's ever given to me, but this is one I'll never forget. And at one point they say, do you think there's a way that we could have got out of this and I could have got out of my case without all this killing of those 17 that were killed?
So in these tapes, they talk about 17 people killed.
Right.
So shocking.
Yeah, I mean, the old number I'd always heard was 13.
Okay.
This is the most I've ever heard, that there were 17 that were killed surrounding the investigation. Another historical fact.
Meaning, so anyone that maybe would have known, had been, touched it, even a little bit, is, boom, they're out.
Right. So.
And of course, this is why your granddad was so...
Right. He had tapes.
He was going to keep this.
I think a dead man's drop or something. Or basically, if he gets killed, these tapes are getting released. And it's going to
show. It's
like
in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here we go. To summarize, Shane says that on the tape you're about to hear, there's a reference to 17 different murders of men close to Lyndon Johnson. And what Shane's family believes is that Saul, Shane's grandfather, made the recording as an insurance policy on his life. Right? He didn't want to be the 18th murder victim related to Lyndon Johnson because of the wheeling and the dealing the two men had engaged in, and also because of his knowledge of Johnson's involvement in Kennedy's assassination. So here we go. We're going to play that part of the recording now. Again, the first voice you'll hear will be Shane's grandfather, Saul, greeting Cliff Carter, LBJ's longtime political aide and alleged bagman. Carter is the voice on the recording who talks about Johnson hiring a hitman named Mac Wallace to kill President Kennedy. Wow, this is incredible. This is an edited version of that recording. Take a listen.
It's sure good to see you. How's life treating you today?
Well, Saul, it's been pretty touch and go situation. Lyndon and I have had quite a few unpleasant words here lately over the deal with that he hired Mike Wallace to assassinate the president. It's been hectic in every way, but we've lived through it this far, and I guess we'll continue to do so. Lyndon should have never issued that order to Mike, but we've had our differences, and I'm a true blue to Lyndon, as I've always been, and tried to carry out every order that he'd ever given me. But this is one I'll probably never be able to forget. And the times that we've had in Texas, and the embarrassment that Lyndon had gotten from Kennedy, I guess there wasn't anything else to do but what he did.
Well, you know, Lyndon could have really hit me if he would.
Well, Lyndon's the kind of person that doesn't want to help anyone. He's you know, he's all for Lyndon, and that's the way he's pretty much always been.
Well, they had me backed up on that Henry Marshall killing, and they just kind of blackmailed me to keep my mouth shut. And if I hadn't had a bunch of tapes that I'd played after I got killed, as you know, 17 got killed in this situation very mysteriously. And I've done a lot of time, and I've lost a lot of money, and hurt my family a whole lot. And it's really got me disgusted with Lyndon in one way. In one way, I feel real sorry for him. But I really feel like that in Lyndon's heart, he felt like that he was doing the right thing. He felt like that he was the savior of the common man. I feel like that in his heart, he wanted to help people that had not. But I don't believe that anything, my church background would have never let me sanction all the killings that he has done. What do you think about it, Cliff? Do you really believe that it could have been handled anyway without killing all these people and got rid of the Kennedys? You think he won the election against him?
Well, I don't really believe so. You know, he tried desperately to do just that, and there didn't seem to be any other way. I know that he regrets a lot of things that he has done, but still, it's been a battle from day one.
But nobody will ever understand, in the early years, I thought that Lyndon really had a mission from a higher power, whom I've used to call God, to carry out a lot of things for the common people. And I really believe in his heart that he thought that he was destined to rule the people. How do you size up Lyndon Cliff after all these years of horror?
Well, actually, Lyndon's just been kind of going downhill health-wise and politically-wise. He's just wore out. And I feel like he's come to his end of his rope. But all these things that's been eating on him for all these years have just now taken its course. And I feel like Lyndon's done a lot of good things in his life, and he's done a lot of bad things.
Well, there you have it. This story has been passed down in Shane's family for decades. Well, next, I talked to Shane about the indictment and the trial of his grandfather, Billy Saul Estes. By 1962, the government, helmed by JFK and RFK, was looking into corruption involving various sectors of government. Now, due to Saul's, shall we say, shady dealings with Lyndon Johnson, the federal government indicted Saul on fraud charges, and he was found guilty. Shane feels that his grandfather could have beat the charges if LBJ had not insisted that his own lawyer defend Saul. So by installing his lawyer, LBJ made sure that his name was never connected to Billy Saul Estes. Well, that's what we're going to discuss in the conclusion of this very interesting interview.
They tried to vilify my granddad as bad as they could and tried to vilify LBJ by televising this thing. So they took out all the big guns, and I think it was three people that were indicted. My granddad, another gentleman named George that was his accountant, and another guy in his company. Those two guys got killed.
Oh my gosh. So really, your grandfather, that was amazing.
Saul survived that. He had the Department of Agriculture. There's a guy named Henry Marshall. And he was over the cotton allotments for Texas. Well, part of the pay-for-play scheme with my granddad and LBJ was, if my granddad would give him enough money, LBJ would help him to get these cotton allotments. And then they had a way of going about doing it. It was a gray area.
Okay.
But he was able to get these cotton allotments so he could grow more cotton, produce more cotton, store more cotton, make more money.
Wow.
Well, this guy with the Department of Agriculture caught on to it, and he blew the whistle and was like, we've got problems here. We got to shut this deal down. And Solon, my granddad and LBJ said, well, let's promote him up to D.C. and let's get him out of that office. And
oh, boy. Shift him.
Yeah, just push him up. And the guy was like, no, I know what y'all are trying to do. I'm not backing off on this deal. Well, that guy, not long after that, committed suicide.
Did he really commit suicide?
He shot himself
oh,
in the chest
okay.
five times with a .22 long rifle. Boom, 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 boom. He also beat himself over the head, and he also carbon monoxide poisoned himself. So it's pretty hard for somebody to do that to themselves, right?
Yeah, it sounds like ridiculous.
So after my granddad got out of prison, he went and testified saying that that man did not kill himself.
Yeah.
Because the wife wasn't able to get insurance money, and they
sure.
were all going, he was fine. He would never have killed himself.
It's impossible.
And so they got that overturned to where she was able to collect her insurance money.
Okay.
And clear the record there. And that court also said at the time, based on the evidence presented here, we have adequate information to find LBJ guilty of murder. But LBJ was already dead at the time, so there can be no charges.
So what do you do in a situation like this? Your tapes, your grandfather's tapes, support, exposed. Obviously, they're huge evidence.
Yep.
I guess it's just, it's a story for history. It's like, it was what we all thought it was, or the mystery is solved. I mean, this is like a cold case. This is a History Channel needs to do something on this,
I know.
Right? Okay.
I know.
Like the cold case files?
Yeah. Well, the problem with this is, you know, I don't think the media wants to pick it up, the big media,
sure.
mainstream media, because this basically proves that the media was complicit in helping to hide and cover this up.
Because they didn't investigate. They didn't do their job.
Right. And based on LBJ appointing a gentleman by the last name of Johnson to work with CNN and implant him there to help cover up and make sure that no media was going to release anything that damaged the LBJ legacy.
Because there had to be tips. People had to tip.
Oh, there
right?
were so many people that were there saying, no, 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 it was more than one shooter. I've got a recording of J. Edgar Hoover talking with LBJ saying that there was more than one shooter. Yet the Warren Commission came up with the one shooter and the magic bullet concept.
Right.
So everybody knew that there was more than one, but media, everybody helped jump on the bandwagon and say, nope, this is the story, this is the narrative.
Isn't that true even in today's day, now we're talking about it, if you say something long enough, it becomes truth, not real truth,
right.
but it becomes embedded. It's like if you say this about President Trump, this, or you say this about this person, you say it enough with the media, with all of the liberal press, it becomes a narrative that you can't counter it.
No, so that's a fascinating lesson in just psychology of how humans are so gullible.
Yeah.
And that's where Moms for America is doing a great job of teaching moms to teach their kids to be independent thinkers,
right.
to utilize common sense, look at the facts and make decisions off of the facts, as to where so many in our public, they still believe in what the media is telling them.
Right.
And it's real. I used to get frustrated and angry with them, but it's really not their fault. They're just trusting and they're naive. Now, don't get me wrong.
Or they're following orders, too.
Yeah, following orders. I think there are some people that are emotionally attached to a narrative and they're refusing to let go of
Correct.
It.
Correct, right.
But for the most part, I think it comes out of naivety and not understanding that there really could be true evil in our country and in our world and
right.
in our government that do not want the best for the American people, that don't want the truth to be released.
Right. So as you, how has this changed your perception, I guess, on history or just the power of the media or the narrative? And I don't know, I mean, you must have some interesting conversations in your family about what's reality
right.
and how bad it can be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw a lot of this play out over the last 4 years.
We have. So it's given me the ability to see through the veil of lies and deceit, for the most part, within the government.
Yeah.
I can't particularly see it in, you know, individuals or whatever, but, you know, let's say, so I wanted President Trump, I let him listen to this tape. I let Don Jr. listen to the tape. I've let Ken Paxton listen to it. Because all of those are fighters that are fighting for the same things that JFK was fighting for. So potentially moving away from the Federal Reserve, you know, potentially minimizing wars overseas so that the big war machines aren't making all this money. They want war. They don't care about the loss of lives. They want their equipment, their bombs, their guns out there. So, you know, that... they're not liking Trump making sure that we're not getting into big wars and big fights. Sharing dark secrets that's going to put a scar on people's names by declassing these JFK files. Shutting off fraudulent money supply from taxpayers to tons of people that the Doge is starting to just nip. So he's got, he probably has more people wanting him dead than JFK did.
Right.
And so that's why I wanted to warn them that, look, guys, our government or the deep state or whoever's behind all of this is capable of pulling this off.
And they've done it.
And then it was, they tried it. And I think they tried it more times than we're aware
of. Right. So protection over President Trump, all of our cabinet, just all of this, because, like you said, you've seen, really, you've seen it play out in your family with these tapes. People getting killed and murdered and covered up, and the narrative with the news. I think it's history. We have to learn from history, and it's true. At Moms for America, we talk so much about history that we have to understand it, we have to hear it, so we're better at making decisions for our future.
Right.
Learn from the past so we make better decisions in the future with wisdom. That's what we want for our kids and everything. So it must be an interesting ride for you right now, because you've been on quite a few podcasts with us, right?
I have. Yeah, we've been, I think, 5, 6 so far, and I have 2 more coming.
Okay.
And I think the more that we get the truth out there, the better off it is. And we'll see what comes out in the D-class.
Yes.
I'm not 100% sure that it's going to be everything that everybody's wanting it to be.
Right.
Because if, you know, this story is correct as far as the CIA being involved, the FBI being involved, the mafia being involved, I don't know that they wanted to leave a breadcrumb trail for us to find out later down the road that shows this is exactly who was involved, this is who shot the guns. I think they went to extremes to cover it up, even internally within their own classified documents. The other side of it is a lot of murderers and killers, they really like for that information to come out
at some
point.
Right, there is some weird world that they all, right? If you're a killer, you're taking people out, you don't know, right? Is this something that, you know, decades later, I don't care, happens, I'm dead and gone?
Right.
You don't know. I mean, this is going to be really interesting for you when this gets revealed.
I know, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get in there to be part of the D-class.
Oh, you should be.
Because I think that would be a way, in some ways, to kind of unwind the past of my granddad being involved in, frankly, the cover-up of it and not sharing the truth back then because he couldn't, for his own safety and his family's safety, to, you know, two generations later, grandfather helping to reveal the truth and bring it out. And I think that restores something good for our country.
Yeah. Well, the truth will set us free. And obviously that will, with this story. I hope we get to the bottom of it. Thank you for sharing this. Very interesting. I mean, I think all of us are kind of like, wow, you know, listening to it, hearing it, and then just knowing that that's like your family history. It's crazy.
Part of it.
Yeah. And thanks again for all your support for Moms for America, you and Jen.
Welcome. Thanks for all y'all do. You guys have been true advocates for the president. And you help a lot of people, so thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
You're amazing.
Well, the fascination with the Kennedy assassination never seems to dim. I think Shane is probably right when he says that we know in our gut that the official conclusion about what happened just doesn't seem to make much sense. And when that happens, what are we? We're left to draw our own conclusions. Shane's recording adds another element to the sad story in America's history. It truly is a warning for today. I mean, we've already seen two attempts on the life of President Trump over the last past year. We need to keep praying for President Trump and for all of our elected officials and keep them protected because we need their wisdom in running our government. We pray for their safety. As always, thanks for joining us today. What an interesting discussion with Shane. As always, I encourage everyone to like, share, and subscribe. And for the moms that are listening, if you haven't joined Moms for America, please join the movement here. We are moms all across this country, uniting and fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you find out about us? You go to momsforamerica.us and check out all of our information there. We have incredible programs, resources, seminars, webinars, everything that you need in your journey through motherhood. We say from parental rights to public policy, Moms for America has it all. Anything that's happening in your home, right in your kitchen table. All right, moms, check us out, momsforamerica.us. And as always, join us next week and let's keep changing our country one home at a time. Thanks.